The following broadcast is a presentation of the Mountford Free Methodist Church in Decatur, Illinois. Join us Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. or visit us on the web at decaturfmc.org.
Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, we're going to start in verse 5, but we've been talking about the sermon series. It's a new year. Is it a new you? And we've been going through some of this list that we see in Colossians chapter 3. The first part that we've been going through this last month is we've been looking at some things that we need to get rid of. Some things in our life that we need to take off, that we need to die to. And then the second half that we're going to start focusing on next week, we're going to start looking at some characteristics that we need to put on. Some different things that are of Christ that we need to be more of. And so what are those things in your life? So many times for so many people, a new year kind of brings a new beginning and a new start. So let's read this once again. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must also rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. So the last several we're going to kind of clump together and talk about. And the last several, it says that we need to put off slander, filthy language from our lips. And then right after that, it says, do not lie to each other. All of these things has something to do with the tongue. Do you know your tongue is a very powerful weapon? It is. It's a very powerful weapon. When I was in college, I worked at a factory. It was actually a really cool factory. It was a factory that did a bunch of circuit boards for video games. And so I was on the station of putting all the different circuit pieces in the board, and then it would go through. And then at the end, we had someone, unfortunately it wasn't me because I thought this was such a cool job, someone who had to plug the circuit board in and actually play the game. So his job was to play video games to make sure it worked. I wanted that job so bad. But one thing I noticed in that factory that I worked with, that right away I noticed, holy cow, people's language. I mean, it wasn't just the people who worked around me. It was everyone. It was everywhere. It was the management all the way down. The language, I mean, it seemed like every other word. It was just flying. And so I didn't really even say anything or do anything. I just normally lived my life. I didn't participate in it. And so, but I, obviously it started to, people started to notice. And I had a guy who came to me a couple of weeks later and said, hey, so I've noticed since you've been here, the atmosphere around this place has changed. I noticed that people don't cuss as much and they don't cuss around you. And I'm like, I haven't said anything. They're like, I think it's just because you don't cuss and people notice that. And I don't know what it was. There was even a lady who came to me and she said, hey, I want to make a bet with you. And I'm like, well, I'm not the betting type of man, but what do you have in mind? And she said she knew every day for lunch, I went right down the street to McDonald's every day. So I ate lunch at McDonald's every day. So she said, I bet for 1 month you can't eat at McDonald's. I'm like, okay, what about your bet? She's like, what do you think? I said, okay, I have something for you. I bet for 1 month you can't say a cuss word. She was like, all right, I'll work on that. So we had this bet going on. She lost her bet in 2 hours. I kept my bet, though, for a month. I didn't go to McDonald's. But I remember on the last day I worked there before I had to go back to school, there was a friend that that I made there that worked right beside me. We just sat and we talked a lot. We talked about God. We talked about family. And so the last day I was there, I actually brought a Bible in and I gave him a Bible. He never had a Bible before. And I gave him a Bible and I was able to pray with him before I left. And so I knew that for some reason, God wanted me at that factory for some reason. More than just making a few bucks during the summer. But maybe you've been in an environment like that. Maybe you are in an environment like that now. Where you go and everybody else around you just seems like they just have a horrible mouth. And it seems like they just let it fly. Maybe you also join in with them. Maybe you struggle with that. Proverbs 18:21. Says the tongue has a power of life and death. Again, do you know the power that your tongue has? It has the power of life and death. It can bring life, it can build others up, or it can destroy things and tear things apart. Our tongue is a dangerous weapon. And so many people, so many of us, we form bad habits maybe of cussing or using the Lord's name in vain, lying, tearing down one another or slander, maybe gossip, all different things that maybe you struggle with in your speech. So this week we are going to tackle all of these issues and hit each and every one of these issues as we go through. But first, let me ask you this question. If people could only know you by the words that you say, what would they think about you? If people would only know you by the words that you say, what would they think about you? Would they say that you're more of a positive person or more of a complaining person? Would they say that you're more of an encourager or a discourager? Do you build up or do you tear down? Do you speak more lies or do you speak more truth? How about this? If you would give your mouth a movie rating, what would it give? What would it get? So the first thing we want to talk about today is foul language or cussing. Here's a few stats. A survey that went out to almost 9,000 teenagers showed that 75% of them use swear words or rude slang daily. 53% of them attributed their foul language to habit. Another study says that on average, a teenager uses roughly 80 to 90 swear words a day. We know that cussing is not just a teen problem. It's all across the board. Maybe it's a problem for you. Maybe it's a habit that you had as a child or growing up that you just couldn't shake. Do you know that there's many people, I know some people, many people who truly believe, well, if you cuss and there's no one around you, then it's okay. Or if you cuss and you don't offend anyone, then it's okay. And so, what do you think about that? Well, let me tell you what the Bible says about that, first and foremost. It says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 4, nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather fill your mouth with thanksgiving. So it says there should not be any obscenity. What is obscenity? Well, it's obscene language. It's foul language. And the Bible says that there shouldn't be any of it, none. It doesn't say, well, it's okay if you're with other people that aren't offended by it. Or it's okay if you're by yourself and you just let it fly. It doesn't say that. It says we shouldn't have any of it. It should not be in our vocabulary. Some might say, well, I don't really struggle with that. But this goes on to go even a bit further. Maybe you don't struggle with cussing, but how about foolish talk or coarse joking? Maybe you struggle with that. Foolish talk is as simple as talk that's not wise. Proverbs tell us how our speech needs to be wise. It needs to have wisdom in it. How about using the Lord's name in vain? Nowadays, people text, right? And in their text, they say, OMG, right? And some people think, oh, there's nothing of that. Actually, what are you doing? You're actually saying the Lord's name in vain. It might be abbreviated, but it's still the same thing. What does the Bible say about that? Exodus 27. It says, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Why should we not misuse his name? Matthew 6:9, because our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, because his name is holy. Philippians 2:10-11, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. People, there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of God. And so when we cheapen that name, when we use that name out of context, where it's not holy and reverent and powerful where it should be, there's something wrong with that. That when we say the name of the Lord, we say it with all reverence and power and dignity and holiness that it belongs. Don't say the Lord's name in vain. How about the next one? Here in our list, it says, do not lie. Oh, there's one, lying. So often, maybe you might say, oh, but it's a little white lie. What is that? What is a white lie? I never knew that lies had a color scheme to it. Did you? What's a little white lie? Isn't a lie a lie? No matter how big or how small, a lie is a lie. But so many times we might lie because we're afraid of the truth. Or maybe because the truth might hurt us. Or we're ashamed of it. Maybe we might lie because we could gain a little bit of money that way. So several years ago, our family was driving in Chicago. I was stopped at a stop sign, and I looked in my rearview mirror and noticed that the guy who's coming in was not stopping. And so he rear-ended us. I got out of the car. I got all of his information. I did all the stuff I needed to do. Got his cell phone number, all of that stuff. The next day, I took it into to my insurance company. And when they called into it, they found out this insurance that he gave you, he doesn't have insurance there. This guy doesn't have insurance. And I'm like, oh, I've been down this road before. So I called this guy. Luckily, I had his cell phone number. I called him, and he answered, and he said, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm in between insurances right now. I had that insurance about 6 months ago. I stopped using it, and I don't have insurance right now. He said, it's okay. I'm going to cover everything. You just go get a quote, and I'm going to cover it all. And I'm like, I've been down this road before. Okay, we'll see. So I got an estimate. I gave him a call to tell him what the estimate was, and he never answered my phone call. Now it's going on 3-4 days, something like that. Finally, he called me back, and he was like, oh, I'm so sorry. I've been out of town. Okay, I got your estimate. Why don't you email my friend the cost and he will send you the check. Again, I'm like, what road are you taking me down, man? This whole time I'm talking to my insurance and I know my insurance is saying, well, hey, if you can get his money instead of ours, that's better. But we're here. If he doesn't have insurance, it's okay. We'll cover it, you know. So I knew I was fine either way. So I did. I emailed his friend. His friend emailed me back. And luckily, I actually got the check in the mail. It was sent. I couldn't believe it. And it actually worked. It was true. And so I took it to the bank. And I was talking to my friend. And so my friend said, you know what most people would do, don't you? And I'm like, what? He said, most people would call back the insurance and tell the insurance that, oh, the guy never called me, and pocket the check. And I'm like, what? No. He was like, seriously. He was like, it's just a little white lie, but you'll be up thousands of dollars. And I'm like, but a lie is a lie. But so often, so many people do that. Just a little white lie to maybe put a little bit of money in your pocket. But I couldn't do that. What does the Bible say about lying? Proverbs 12:22. The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in those who tell the truth. Psalm 120 verse 2 says, save me, Lord, from lying lips and a deceitful tongue. Look at it this way. If Jesus is truth and Satan is the father of lies, when we lie, what category are we putting ourselves into? Lying destroys. Lying is a sin. We need to be honest with one another. We need to be honest with God. Sometimes we lie to God, don't we? The next thing. Maybe you have a mouth that tears down. Maybe it's a mouth and it's a habit that you tear down other people. Maybe you tear your own self down. Maybe you tear down your day. You hear it all the time. People wake up and say, ah, this is going to be a horrible day. I don't even want to go through this day. I don't want to get up. This is going to be a horrible day. Maybe you hear people when they, or you don't hear it, but a lot of people might think to themselves when they look at themselves in the mirror, I'm ugly. I'm worthless. I don't measure up. And so you're tearing yourself down. You're tearing the circumstances around you down. Maybe by the words that you say, you are tearing other people down. We've all done it. Oh, but you know the phrase. Say it with me. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but that's complete falseness. Is falseness a word? It is now. That's a lie. Why? Because we've all been hurt by words. We've all been tore down by something that someone else said. And the truth is, our words have hurt somebody else too. I'm a firm believer in speaking life in other people, speaking life in yourself, even speaking life in your day. When you wake up, you say, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's all about your perspective, right? Speak life into it. The tongue has a power of life or death. What are you doing? Are you speaking life into things or are you destroying things? Are you speaking life into yourself? Or are you tearing yourself down and destroying it? Are you speaking life into one another? Are you encouraging each other? Or are you tearing other people down? We need to have a tongue that helps and builds up, not tears down. Ephesians 4:29 says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Oh, I think we should say that again. Why don't you say it with me? Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up, for building yourself up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. So everything that comes out of our mouth, we want to have a mouth that glorifies God. And not a mouth that destroys things. And a mouth that makes him cringe. What are things that come out of your mouth? So try to speak life into yourself. Try to speak life into your day. Try to make sure that the things that are coming out of your mouth are glorifying to him. And the last thing, but it's a doozy. I know we have to go down this road. Gossip. Gossip, gossip, gossip. It's everywhere, isn't it? There's a movie titled Gossip. There's a TV show called Gossip Girls. There's a band named Gossip. There are magazines that make their living by sharing gossip. There are people who have a full-time job to basically share gossip around. Maybe some of you think that that's your full-time job too. It's not. Gossip destroys. So what is the definition of gossip? Here's what I found. It said a casual or unconstrained conversation or reports about other people, typically involving details that are not confirmed as being true. But the truth is, we also know that we can gossip even if it's true information. There are times when we just need to close our mouths and we don't need to spread that information to other people because they don't need to know. And even if it's true or not true, it's still gossip. There's gossip everywhere. I've seen gossip destroy friendships. I've seen gossip destroy families. Gossip destroy churches. Oh, it's even in the church. This is what you see often in the church too. Maybe in a prayer service, where people say, oh yeah, I want to pray for so-and-so because they just cheated on their wife. Guess what? That's gossip. There might be unspokens that you can say or different ways to say it without spreading gossip. But you call it what it is. Even gossip is a thing that so many people try to characterize themselves or other people with. Like saying, oh yeah, grandma, she just goes over and has breakfast every morning and has the family or the family gossip or the town's gossip there. Yeah, she's just a gossip. But gossip is wrong. It's not right. It's a sin. Proverbs 16:28. A perverse person stirs up conflict, and a gossip separates close friends. Proverbs 20:19. A gossip betrays a confidence, so avoid anyone who talks too much. Proverbs 26:20. Without wood, a fire goes out. Without a gossip, a quarrel dies down. Proverbs 6:16-19. There are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, and here are the last two: a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. The last two are gossipers. But here it's interesting that gossip is in the same sentence, in the same categories of a murderer. Because the truth is, we know that gossip can also kill. It can destroy. And there are times, I learned this from my mom a long time ago. If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say it at all. But so many times we want to share the gossip because maybe it makes us feel good. No, it doesn't. It's detestable to God. Gossip is a problem in our society. It's a problem in our world. Is it a problem for you? And maybe you just do different things here or there, and you try to help justify, but the truth is, when you come down to it, it's still gossip. When I was a youth pastor, there was a time, and I was so proud of this one of my youth who did this, that there was like four or five girls talking, and I was kind of overhearing the conversation, and several of them are saying, you know, yeah, did you see what Susie did? Susie did this and this and this. Like, man, I can't stand her. It's just tearing this person down. And then there was one who said, you know what? I really like Susie. She helped me the other day. I was having a problem with, I think she was talking about a math test or whatever. And she really helped me. And guess what happened? It completely stopped the gossip going on. And so I think it's even our duty, if we have gossip going on, if someone comes to you with gossip, it is our duty to stop it. And to not join in with it, even though it might be tempting. So many of us might have bad habits that we need to break. How can we break these bad habits? Well, one way to do it is simply watch what you are feeding yourself. The music you listen to, the movies that you watch, the episodes that you watch on TV, the people that you hang out with. What's coming in a lot of times will go out. And so you have to watch what you're associating yourself with. Are they things that glorify God? 70% of people who swear say they swear when they are with friends. So who are the friends that you're hanging out with? But here's what I want you to do. Each of us. Wake up every morning with this prayer of David on your lips. From Psalm 19:14. This is what his prayer says, and it should be our prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O God, my rock and my redeemer. May the words of my mouth, may everything that I say, may it glorify your name. May everything that I say, may it build other people up. Even in your family, how you talk to one another, how you talk to your spouse, to your brother, to your sister, to your mom, to your dad. Is it glorifying Jesus? May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O God, my rock and my redeemer. There's a song that I know that goes with this verse, and it helps me to remember this verse. I sing it often inside my head, maybe sometimes out loud because I have that habit sometimes. But this is how it goes. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, be pleasing to you. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, mighty God. That's what it's all about. Is you have to remember, what are the words that are coming out of your mouth? There's another song that maybe you learned when you were a kid. It first starts of saying, be careful, little eyes, what you see. But then I think the third verse, I don't know if it's a true verse. Maybe it is. Maybe my mom just taught me this verse to try to help me. But it's, be careful, little mouth, what you say. For the Father up above is looking down with love. Be careful, little mouth, what you say. I pray that everything that comes out of your mouth will glorify God and will build others up and not tear them down. Maybe if you know that tune, sing it with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, be pleasing to you. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, mighty God. Allow that to be your word, your prayer for the day. Let's pray. Jesus, help us. Help us to glorify you with everything that we say. Help us to watch our mouth, knowing that everything that we say can truly bring life or death. And Lord, forgive us. Forgive us for not saying the things that you want us to say, not having the mouth that you want us to have. Forgive us for tearing others down. Forgive us for gossip. Forgive us for lying. Forgive us for bad habits that maybe we have started. And I pray truly that may the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen.